بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد. First of all, I want to apologize. Last week the lesson ended abruptly due to some technical issue, and I'm not actually sure exactly where when it cut off. So I'll just start from this topic again. So we already covered some of this last week, and somewhere in between we cut off. So al-ma'mur bil amri naw'an. The discussion generally is in relation to Amr, commands, because the Quran has many different commands, many instructions which we must follow. So some commands are attached to time, are linked to a certain time, or are limited to a certain time. Other commands are not limited to any time. Yeah. So based on that, Ma'amur, commanded matters are of two types. One is mutlaqun anil waqt, which is not restricted by time, like zakat, hajj, and sadaqatul fitr. So these three actions are such that once they become compulsory on a person, he has until the end of his life to fulfill them. Okay, and as long as they are fulfilled and completed before death, then the person is not considered sinful. Yes, it's recommended to fulfill them as soon as possible, but you won't be sinful for delaying them. Okay, so the ruling is يَكُونُ الْأَدَاءُ فِيهِ وَاجِبًا عَلَى التَّرَاخِي, that to carry them out is obligatory with option to delay. بِشَرْطِ أَلَّا يَفُوتَهُ فِي الْعُمْرِ, with the only condition being that it should not be missed in one's lifetime. As long as it's completed before death, it's fine. The second type is muqayyadun bihi, which is restricted by time. Okay, it has a time limit. وهو نوعان, this is also of two types. يكون وقت ظرفا للفعل كالصلاة. The first one is where the time is a zarf. A zarf literally means a container. Okay, so the whole time doesn't need to be encompassed with the act. Okay, the act is somewhere within the time. Like Salah, we mentioned last time, the time of Fajr lasts around 2 hours. But we don't perform Salah for Fajr for 2 hours. We're done in 10 minutes. Okay, so you can do it anywhere within that time. And the obvious other type is like Sawm, where Sawm, the whole day needs to be covered with that Sawm. Otherwise, the Sawm does not count. So based on this, there are some different rulings. So, حكمه لا يشترط استيعاب كل الوقت بالفعل. Where the time is a zarf, it is not necessary for the whole time to be encompassed with the act. Yeah. So, you don't need to spend the whole time in performing salah. It just has to be somewhere within that time. ولا ينافي وجوب فعل فيه وجوب فعل آخر فيه من جنسه. Since the whole time is not covered by the act, the whole time of Salah is not covered by the Salah act, it is possible for multiple Salahs to be wajib during one time. Okay, so for example, Zuhr time is about to start, so the 4 rakats of Zuhr will be farz when that time starts. Now, if I take an oath, if I take a nadhar and a vow that by Allah I will perform 10 rakats nafil after my Zuhr Salah, within the Zuhr time. So now, those 10 rakat nafal are wajib on me. The fact that I have Zuhr wajib does not make those 10 rakats, does not stop those 10 rakats from being wajib. So more than one Salah can be wajib in one time. Like, according to Hanafis, in the Isha time, Witr is also wajib. So Isha is wajib, the farz of Isha is wajib, and also Witr is wajib. So you have two wajibs in one time. Okay, so there's no contradiction. Whereas in Sawm, if I say that, wallahi, I will keep a fast on the 2nd of Ramadan, I will, if this task of mine is fulfilled, then I can't keep that fast on that day, because that day is already reserved for the fast of Ramadan. It's not possible to keep two fasts in one day, whereas it is possible to perform two salahs in one time. وَلَا صِحَّةَ فِعْلٍ آخَرَ فِيهِ مِنْ جِنْسِهِ. وَلَا يُنَافِي وُجُوبَ فِعْلٍ فِيهِ وُجُوبَ فِعْلٍ آخَرَ فِيهِ مِنْ جِنْسِهِ. For one fa'al to be wajib during this time, does not contradict. Yunafi, to contradict, to prevent, okay, the obligation of another act within it, of the same type. Minjinsi, the same type. So salah is a jins. So another salah can be wajib. وَلَا صِحَّةَ فِعْلٍ آخَرَ فِيهِ مِنْ جِنْسِهِ, nor does it contradict the validity of another act of the same type within it. Basically, if you choose to pray nawafil, if you choose to pray your sunnats during that time, there's no harm. وَلَا يَتَأَدَّى الْمَأْمُورُ بِهِ إِلَّا بِتَعْيِينِ النِّيَّةِ وَإِنْ ضَاقَ الْوَقْتِ. Okay. وَلَا يَتَأَدَّى الْمَأْمُورُ بِهِ إِلَّا بِتَعْيِينِ النِّيَّةِ. That because there is potential to perform many salahs in one time, it is necessary to specify the intention of which salah you are performing. If I just stand up at a time of Asr and I start praying salah, but I haven't specified, am I praying farz or nafil, then that will not count as my farz because I haven't specified which salah I'm reading. There's potential of more than one salah. I could be doing qaza from a previous day. But there's 2 minutes left. I've done wudu quickly. I only have 2 minutes to perform salah. Now, logically and even morally, the only salah which is permissible for me to perform at that time is fajr. Okay, it's not permitted and it's not jaiz. It's not an option for me to perform any other salah because if I perform any other salah, then I will miss the farz of fajr. And at that time, the farz of fajr is the most important salah. However, despite that, even though logically and morally no other salah is permissible, but because technically that time has the potential to for any salah, yeah, that time has a potential for any other salah. That time is not fixed for fajr, therefore intention is necessary. So if a person just stands up when there's 2 minutes left for fajr salah and he just prays two rakats without any intention, that will not be classed as his farz of fajr. He still needs to perform qaza of that fajr salah. ونوع يكون الوقت معيارا للفعل كالصوم. So we said the first type was zarf, where the salah is somewhere within the time, and the second type is where the time is a mi'yar, it's like a standard for the act, meaning the whole act needs to be covered with that act, the whole time needs to be covered with that act, kasawm, like fasting. So in fasting, it's clear that the time of fast is from dawn till sunset, and the whole time must be engaged in fasting. So based on that, there are certain ahkam. حكمه إذا عين الشرع له وقتا لا يجب غيره في ذلك الوقت. Since Shariat has specified a time for it, then another act of the same type cannot be obligatory in that time. So in Ramadan, for example, we know the fast of Ramadan is wajib. So it's not possible for another fast to also be wajib at the same time, because you can't have two fasts in one day. وَلَا يَجُوزُ أَدَاءُ غَيْرِهِ فِيهِ, nor is it permissible, or nor is it possible to, or permissible as well. Nor is it permissible to carry out another act within it. It's not permissible to fast in Ramadan other than the fast of Ramadan. وَيَسْقُطُ شَرْطُ التَّعْيِينِ, therefore the condition of specifying is waived. Okay, so if you wake up in Ramadan and you just say I'm fasting, you just make an intention to fast in general. You don't specify that I'm fasting for Ramadan, or you don't specify that I'm fasting for the 15th fast of Ramadan. I'm fasting the 16th fast of Ramadan. Most people don't even remember which fast it is, right? We don't think which date is it today. So you don't need to specify which fast are you fasting. As long as you know you're fasting on Ramadan. Okay, now this is a new topic now, that al-amru bi shay'i yadullu ala husn al-ma'mur bihi idha kana al-amiru hakiman. Okay, that when somebody gives a command, either the person giving the command is wise, intelligent, okay, and hakim, or they are not. Okay, if you receive a command from a foolish person, then you may ignore it. Because it may be something foolish. So it's not going to be a good thing. But if a person who is wise gives you a command, then they will only command you to do something good. Okay? Somebody wise, for example, if a person's parent, my father or my mother, I know they are wise. So if they ask me that do this tomorrow, it has to be a good thing. They would never ask me to do something bad. They would never ask me to do something silly or stupid. Okay? So the ahkam that we receive through Sharia are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is Hakim. Okay? Allah is the most wise. So therefore, if Allah commands us to do something, then it has to be good. Okay? So if we are commanded to do something by Sharia, then that must be a good thing. It can't be something bad. It can't be something evil. Okay? So a command of something indicates to the commanded act being good. When, or as long as, either as long as the one giving the command is wise. Yeah. So Allah Ta'ala is wise, so all of Allah's commands are full of wisdom. However, there's a line missing here, that there are two types of actions in terms of their being good. Okay. ثُمَّ what's missing is ثُمَّ الْمَأْمُورُ بِهِ فِي حَقِّ الْحُسْنِ نَوْعَانِ. There are two types. So we can say here مَأْمُورُ بِهِ, okay, is of two types. One is حَسَن بِنَفْسِهِ. What this means is the act is intrinsically good. Okay? Itself it's good. The act itself is good. Okay, it doesn't depend on something else. And the second type is Hassan li ghayrihi, where its goodness depends on something else. Okay, it's externally good, is good due to an external factor. A simple act, for example, salah, performing salah is intrinsically good. That it's a good act because you humble yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's a good act. Okay. On the other hand, Hasan li ghayrihi will be like wudu. Okay. Wudu is good, but what is wudu? You're just washing your limbs. Right? So if somebody just sits there all day and just keeps washing themselves, if somebody just does wudu 50 times in a day, would they get reward for that? Okay? Of course not. Because the reason wudu is good is it leads to salah. So a wudu is only good if you're going to perform salah, or if you're going to read the Quran, or if you're going to do an act for which wudu is necessary or recommended. But if you just keep doing wudu after wudu after wudu, and you don't do any worship after it, that wudu will not be considered as good. So that from there we understand that wudu is something which is good because it leads to something else. So it's not, the goodness is not within itself. Okay? So whereas salah, you could perform salah all day long, as much as perform as and as much you perform, it will always be good. Okay? Then Hasan bin Nafsihi is also of two types. Okay, ma yahtamilu sukut, which sometimes they can be forgiven or pardoned. So the example of this is salah, that even though salah is farz, there are certain situations where a person is exempt from praying. For example, a menstruating woman or somebody who's completely paralyzed, they can't even move the head. Okay? So there are certain, somebody who's unconscious, but there are certain situations where salah is pardoned. And the second type is ma la yahtamil sukut, which can never be pardoned, like iman. Okay, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which can never be pardoned, which is never exempt. It's always going to be farz. There's never a situation where a person is not required to believe in Allah. Okay, there may be situations where a person may utter kalima kufr from his just with his tongue. Okay, وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. If somebody puts a gun to your head and say, "I'm not a Muslim," then I don't believe in Allah, na'udhu billah, to save your life, you are permitted to say those words, as long as in your heart you still have iman. But the iman in your heart, you can never be exempt from. Okay, so the first type, hasan bi nafsihi, is of two types. Ma yahtamilu sukut, which can sometimes be waived or exempted from, like salah, and which can never be exempted from, like iman. And hasan li ghayrihi is also of two types. One is like wudu, where there are two separate acts. So the purpose is achieved by an act other than the main the wasita, the cause to it. Okay, so wudu is good because of salah, and these are two separate acts. And the second type of hasan li ghayrihi is where it only consists of one act, but the purpose is achieved from that very act. But the purpose is still hasan li ghayrihi. And the example of this is like those punishments, certain punishments which are prescribed in the Quran or in the Hadith by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that for example, flogging someone. If somebody commits fornication, they should be flogged. And 100 lashes. So now, this act of beating someone is not a good act. Hitting someone is not good in itself. Okay? So it's hasan li ghayrihi, because it's only considered good because it can be a what's the word? It can be a deterrent from the crime. Okay? So punishments for crimes themselves are not good. Just like putting somebody in prison, putting somebody in a locked room is not a good thing. But if it acts as a deterrent from crime, and if it can be a cause for rehabilitation of a person, then that can be a good act. So it's hasan li ghayrihi. But the difference is that there's no separate act which is the purpose, like salah is for wuzu. So that's why hasan li ghayrihi is also of two types. But I don't know any practical difference between the two. Okay. So based on these categorization, there are certain rulings which the author will mention. So al-ma'mur bihi, thumma al-ma'mur bihi nawa'an. Al-awwal hasanun bi nafsihi. Ma'mur bihi is of two types. The first is hasan bi nafsihi. Mithlu al-iman billahi ta'ala wa shukri al-mun'imi والصدق والعدل والصلاة ونحوها من العبادات الخالصة. So حسن بنفسه, for example, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is a good act within itself. شكر المنعم, to thank one's benefactor, somebody who benefits you, somebody who favors upon you. So to thank them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors us. Okay, he gives us so many favors and so many ni'mats and blessings, so to thank Allah. And also, if somebody does something good to you, okay, if somebody is good to you in any way, somebody helps you out, then to thank them is a good act, and this is intrinsically good. Okay, was sidq, to speak the truth, wal adl, to be fair, was salah, salah, and the likes of it, nil ibadat al khalisa, which are pure worships, okay? Which are pure worship, that they are worship themselves, within themselves. Okay? حُكْمُهُ إِذَا وَجَبَ أَدَاؤُهُ لَا يَسْقُطُ إِلَّا بِالْأَدَاءِ. The ruling is that once their performance is an obligation, is obligated, then it cannot be waived except by being carried out. Okay, so if one of these things become farz on you, then you must carry it out, otherwise the obligation will not be removed. وَهَذَا فِي مَا لَا يَحْتَمِلُ السُّقُوطِ. This is in relation to those things which do not have the potential to be waived. So I mentioned previously that Hasan bin Nafsi is of two types, مَا يَحْتَمِلُ السُّقُوطِ and مَا لَا يَحْتَمِلُ السُّقُوطِ. So if it's مَا لَا يَحْتَمِلُ السُّقُوطِ, then it can never be waived. Once it's wajib, so when a child becomes baligh, for example, iman is wajib on him now. Now, until death, that iman can never be waived. The wujub and the obligation of iman cannot be waived. Okay. The second type is, so this is the first type, ما لا يحتمل السقوط. The second type, وأما ما يحتمل السقوط, as for those which have the potential of being waived, فهو يسقط بالأداء, then there are two ways they can be waived. Number one, it can be removed, meaning the obligation can be removed by fulfilling the obligation. Once you perform your salah, that salah will not be farz on you again. Once you fasted, that fast won't be farz on you again. Once you've paid a zakah, that particular zakah will never be wajib on you again. So they can be the obligation can be removed by performing the act, or by the giver of the command having waived it. Like we know that if a salah becomes wajib, for example, a lady, the time of salah has entered, salah is wajib on her, but now her menstruation starts. So this is the amir has removed that obligation of her. She no longer needs to perform that salah. But this is isqatul amir. But the one who gave the command has now removed that obligation. Okay. So it can be removed. That's the main point here. The second type, hasanun li ghayrihi, okay, which is good, but is good to an external factor. The example of this is misl as-sa'i lil Jum'ah, okay, rushing towards Jum'ah, literally, okay, or walking towards Jum'ah Salah. So in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha nudiya li salati min yawm al-jum'ati fas'aw ila dhikrillah. So therefore, when the adhan of Jum'ah takes place, then all Muslims should rush to Jum'ah. However, we understand that rushing towards Jum'ah or walking towards Jum'ah Salah is an act which has been commanded to us, but it's an act which leads to another act, which is the performance of Jum'ah Salah. Okay, so you only rush to Jum'ah if you're going to perform Jum'ah. Therefore, those people for whom Jum'ah is not an obligation, then they will not be obligated to rush towards Jum'ah. So if a blind person, a disabled person, a slave, or even a lady, okay, Jum'ah is not farz on them. So if they hear the azan of Jum'ah, it's not an obligation for them to leave what they're doing and hurry towards the Jum'ah Salah. If they do, they will be rewarded, but it's not an obligation for them. However, a person on whom Jumu'ah is farz, when he hears the adhan, then he must rush towards Jumu'ah. So, rushing towards Jumu'ah is farz, but it's farz because it is a wasila and a means to performing Jumu'ah. Therefore, if Jumu'ah is not farz on a person, then, of course, sa'i ila Jumu'ah is also not farz. Wal wudu ila salah. The second example is wudu for salah. So again, if a person doesn't need to perform salah, why will they perform wudu? Okay, so wudu will not be farz on them. If salah is farz on a person, then wudu becomes farz to perform that salah. So if salah is not farz, wudu is also not farz. حكمه يسقط المأمور به بسقوط ذلك الغير. That the commanded act will be waived or removed with the removal of the other act. Meaning, if the thing which it is a wasila to is removed, then that very act will also be waived and it will no longer be an obligation. فَإِذَا وَقَرِيبٌ مِّنْ هَذَا النَّوْءِ الْحُدُودُ وَالْقِصَاصُ وَالْجِهَادُ. This is the fourth type that I mentioned. Okay, the second type of حَسَنٌ لِغَيْرِهِ, that where an act is good due to external factor, but unlike wudu and sa'i al-jum'ah, where you have two separate acts. One act is the means, and the second act is the result of those means. Over here, there's only one act which serves the whole purpose. So, al-hudud, hudud, those punishments which are prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, like the punishment for stealing, the punishment for fornication and for drinking, etc. Well, qisas, qisas an eye for an eye, you could say, or the punishment of murder, etc. Well, jihad, fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in jihad as well, you're fighting. Sometimes potentially you're going to kill somebody. That's not something good. But sometimes, due to a necessity, due to a certain need, that becomes a good act. Says Hassan لغيره. Okay. فإن الحد حسن لكونه زاجرا عن الجناية. So the author says that the had, the prescribed punishments are good because they are preventative, okay? They are deterrent from the crime. Well, jihad hasan, jihad is good, لدفع شر الكفرة وإعلاء كلمة الله, because they can defend against the evil of the enemies and they can raise the word of Allah. That we can spread Allah's word. So this is the purpose of it. And only for that reason it can be considered as good. Okay. Then now we come on to the second subject, which is ما يتعلق بالنهي. So the opposite of amr is nahi, prohibitions. So there are certain rulings regarding the prohibitions. النهي عن الشيء يقتضي صفة القبح للمنهي عنه إذا كان الناهي حكيما. Just like we said in relation to amr, that if a wise person commands an act, it has to be good. So similarly, if a wise person prohibits something, then that act must be bad. Okay? إذا كان الناهي حكيما. So Allah Ta'ala is wise. So if Allah says don't do this, then certainly that act is evil. But again, we have the same type of distribution, that certain acts are evil within themselves, like fornication and stealing, whereas certain acts are evil due to some external factor. Okay, so based on this, the fuqaha have categorized these al-manhi anhu, acts which are prohibited, into af'al hissiyya and shar'iyya. Okay, af'al al-hissiyya. Hissiyya means perceptible. It's a physical act. Okay, perceptible. Okay, like murder, fornication, stealing, eating haram. That these are all perceptible acts. On the other hand, you have al-af'al al-shar'iyya. Af'al al-shar'iyya mean an act which is only perceptible, or which only has some existence because of Sharia. For example, buying and selling. Okay? Buying. So when you buy things, when you sell things, you get ownership. Now, ownership itself is not something perceptible. It's a concept that we have within ourselves, amongst ourselves, we've all agreed on. Okay? As Muslims, we agree on the concept of ownership, the concept of buying and selling, because that is an instruction of Sharia. Okay? Or if we're talking about non-Muslims, then we have a legal system in this country, and based on that legal system, we all agree that if you buy something, you become the owner. If you sell something, then you are no longer the owner. Otherwise, if we didn't have these legal systems, how would we know who's the owner and how you buy and sell something? Yeah, you didn't eat all day. Well, what does that mean? It's only because Sharia has told us that if you don't eat and you make an intention to fast from dawn till sunset, then you will be rewarded for that. That is counted as an act of fasting. Okay? So, hissiyah, perceptible acts which don't depend on Sharia to be considered an act or to exist. And af'al shar'iyya, acts which are not perceptible, which are not understandable, or which don't have any meaning without the Sharia, at least for Muslims. So, wal manhi anhu, imma an yakuna qabihan li ghairihi wad'an aw shar'an. So, Sometimes amanhi anhu is kabih li'aynihi. It's intrinsically evil, is bad within itself. Okay. And this could be wada'an. Wada'an within its own composition. Okay, the act itself is bad and it's something that can be understood logically. Or aw shar'an, that the evil of it can only be understood through Shariat. Okay. Kal-kufr. Okay. This belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something which is evil wada'an within itself. We don't need the Sharia to tell us kufr is bad. Let's say Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi is reported to have said that if Allah did not send any prophets, if Allah did not send the Quran, even then it would be necessary for us to recognize our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So intelligence dictates that we believe in Allah. Kal-kufr. Wabay' al-hur. Selling a free person. If you just take a free man, you make him into a slave and start selling them. Of course, this is an evil act because you're taking away someone's rights without any reason, without any right. So that is not allowed. أو أنا لغيره أي قبيحا لغيره. The second type is which is evil due to an external factor. وصفا أو مجاورا. This can be evil due to a certain description of it. Okay. So the act itself is not bad, but certain descriptors, certain awsaf and certain attributes and qualities make it bad. Aw mujawiran, or something which is which is alongside it. Okay, so wasfan is a quality within itself, a quality within itself. And mujawiran is something alongside it. So it's something external completely. Okay? So if something is qabih li ghayrihi, it's externally evil, then that external evil could be due to a quality, attribute of the act or something alongside it. So there's an example for each respectively. Qasawmi yawm al-nahr, fasting on Eid day. Okay, Yawmul Nahr is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the Eid al-Adha. So to fast on this day is haram. Now, fasting is first of all a fi'l shar'i, like we mentioned earlier. The fasting would have no concept, no, it wouldn't be an idea if it was not for Sharia. Okay, for a non-Muslim, a fast is not a pet worship. You might fast to diet or for health purposes, but not it's not something you're rewarded for. So it's a shar'i construct, it's a shar'i idea. So if somebody decides to fast on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, obviously this act is wrong because in the hadith it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that la tasumu fi hadhihi al-ayyam fa innaha ayyamu aklin wa shurbin wa bi'al, that do not fast in these days. These are days of eating, drinking, enjoyment. Okay, these are days of it's the hospitality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not be. There are 5 days in the year when fasting is prohibited: Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and the 3 days after Eid al-Adha. So over here, the example of Yawm al-Nahl is given. The ruling is the same for all 5 days. So it's not permissible to fast on these days, and the reason it's not permissible is a attribute of that day, because that day is it's the hospitality of Allah. Allah has instructed us to eat and drink and enjoy those days. Okay, so fast itself is a good act, but on that particular day, due to a wasf, we are not allowed to fast. And the second example, well, bayt waqt al-nida, this example of mujawiran, that something alongside it, that when the adhan of Jum'ah is taking place, okay, then once the adhan of Jum'ah has taken place, then it's not permissible to buy and sell. Now the reason for that is because it's time of Jum'ah, we should be going for Jum'ah Salah. Okay? This is in the Quran, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِصَلَاةِ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ. When the Adhan takes place on Friday, then rush towards Jum'ah Salah and leave all bay. So it's makruh, tahriman, to perform bay once the adhan of Jumu'ah has taken place. But that is for that person for whom Jumu'ah is an obligation, because they should be performing Jumu'ah. So if Jumu'ah is not an obligation on someone, then will it be permissible for them to buy and sell at that time? So that's something which should be discussed later, inshallah. Nawan. So based on the above, nahi is of two types. Nahyun anil af'al al-hissiyya, kazdina wa shurb al-khamri wal-kadhibi wal-zulm. I've already explained this, that prohibitions from hissi af'al, perceptible acts like fornication, drinking wine, lying, and oppression. حكمه يكون منهي عنه عين ما ورد عنه النهي أو ما ورد عليه النهي فيكون عينه قبيحا ولا يكون مشروعا أصلا. The act which is prohibited is the very act upon which the nahi has come upon. So it itself is evil. Itself intrinsically is evil. ولا يكون مشروعا أصلا. Therefore, it cannot be mashru', it cannot be legislated in any way. Okay, it doesn't have any status in Sharia. So no ahkam can, no rulings can come as a result of these. Okay, they don't, they can't be recognized in Sharia. For example, the person fornicates and they have a child. The child is not considered to be the father's, because nasab is a karamat, is a sharaf. You know, a link to have a child attributed to oneself is a privilege and honor, and that cannot be earned through zina, because a zina is like it never happened. As far as Sharia is concerned, it's like it never happened. So no acts can be a result of it. Yeah. ونهي عن الأفعال الشرعية. The second type is those acts which are shari'i acts. In other words, they are not perceptible except through Sharia. كالنهي عن الصوم في يوم النهر, like the prohibition of fasting on the day of Eid. So, Saum itself is fa'al shari'i. Saum has no existence. If it wasn't for Sharia, Saum is just performing Salah. Okay? So, itself, Saum is something good. But because on that day, there is an external factor, an external reason not to fast, that's why fasting on that day is not allowed, and fasting on that day is a bad act. والصلاة في الأوقات المكروهة. Again, salah is a fa'al shar'i. Okay? If it wasn't for Sharia, if somebody who doesn't believe in Sharia, for them salah is just some movements. You're just bowing down, you're putting your head on the floor, you're coming back up. Okay, it's just a few movements. It doesn't mean anything. So salah is only an act of worship, salah is only something good if we believe in Sharia, and because we believe in Sharia, therefore it's fa'al shar'i. So if a person performs salah in al-awqat al-makruha, those times when salah is not permissible, the three times these times that salah will become a bad act, it will become a sin. Why? Not because salah itself is evil, but there is a wasf, which is the time which makes that evil. Okay, so the salah itself is not bad, but the timing makes it bad. So it's qabih li ghayrihi. حكمه يكون المنهي عنه عين غير ما أضيف إليه النهي. The prohibited act is not the same as the thing to which the prohibition is attributed. Okay, so it's like I said, the salah itself is not bad, the psalm itself is not bad, but because of the time, it becomes bad. Therefore, it is good within itself, but evil due to an external factor. One who performs the act will be carrying out a haram act due to an external reason, not due to itself. Okay. So, and then there are certain masail and certain issues which arise as a result of this difference. That if a person takes an oath, Wallahi, I will fast on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. On each day I will fast, what will happen? Or if a person takes an oath, Wallahi, I will perform salah during sunrise or during sunset, what should he do? So this is a mas'ala in which there is difference of opinion. The author has not mentioned these here, so we won't go into the detail, but in more advanced books of Usul al-Fiqh and books of Fiqh as well, these masail are dealt with. So the difference of opinion there is a result of this taqseem of Hasan qabih li aynihi qabih li ghaynihi. Fa'idah. حرمة الفعل. Okay. حرمة الفعل لا تنافي ترتب الحكم عليه كطلاق الحائز. Just because an act is haram does not contradict a Shari'i ruling coming as a result of it, such as the talaq of a ha'iza. Okay, if a man divorces his wife whilst she is in menstruation, this is haram. Okay, and it's prohibited. This is why when Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma divorced his wife whilst she was menstruating, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to learn of this, and he expressed his displeasure, and he instructed him to immediately take her back. He said, take her back, and then one whole tuhr should pass, one whole hayz should pass, and then after that, if you wish, you may divorce her. So it's not permitted to divorce a lady in hayz. However, if somebody does this, then the divorce will occur. So just because the act is haram does not mean that it's completely not counted. Okay, because even here, talaqul ha'iz is qabih li ghayrihi. It's because of her being ha'iza, in the state of hayz. Okay, otherwise, talaq itself is not something evil. So when I mentioned earlier that zina is something intrinsically evil, so ahkam will not be a result of it. But over here, talaqul ha'iz, talaq itself is legislated, it's mashru', and it's a fa'al shar'i, it's not fa'al hissi. If there wasn't for sharia, talaq would have no existence. Okay, so therefore, actions can be murattab, actions can be come as a result of it. This is something in the Shafi'i Mazhab where they say that if something is evil, no actions can be a result of it, no ahkam can be a result of it. Mal, for example, you're selling nothing, selling something which is not wealth at all. That bay is al bay al batil. That bay is void completely. It's as if the bay never happened. Sometimes you have a bay where you have mal on both sides, and the buyer and seller have agreed, but there is some kind of a condition which renders the bay fasid. For example, if a person says, "I'll sell you this house, but you must allow me to live in it for 1 month so I can find a house for myself. Or I'll sell you this car, but the condition is that whenever I need it, you let me use it." These are conditions which render the bay' fasid. So in the Shafi'i Mazhab and the Maliki and Hanbali Mazhab, the bay' al-fasid is just like bay' batil. But because you made this a unlawful condition, the whole bay is rendered invalid and void. But in the Hanafi Mazhab, the bay of fasid is not the same as the bay of batil. Okay? The bay is complete and ownership is transferred. However, because there is this fasid condition and the bay was not permissible, it was a haram bay, therefore it's necessary for them to reverse the bay as long as it's possible, to cancel the bay and to return the item and return the money. So this is based on this difference of opinion that the Shafi'is and the other Imams say that if the condition is haram, then no ahkam can come as a result of them. But Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi is saying, no, sometimes an act is haram But still, a Shari'i hukm can be a result of it. And the example of that is this mas'ala, the talaqul ha'iz, where when Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma divorced his wife in Hayz, even though we all agree that the act is not permissible, but still the talaq occurred. Otherwise, why would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instruct him to do rujoo? If the act was impermissible, then the talaq should not have happened according to their logic. So that shows sometimes an act is impermissible, but still certain actions can be a result of them. Okay, another example, if a person steals a knife and slaughters an animal, stealing the knife is haram, but the animal will be zabiha, is permissible to eat that animal. If a person steals some land or steals a carpet and performs salah on there, stealing of the land or stealing of the carpet is haram, but performing salah on there, the salah will still be valid. Okay, I'm not talking about the ajr and thawab, but the salah itself is valid. We won't say you must do qada of that salah. So sometimes an act itself can be haram, but certain acts can come as a result of it. Okay, but this usually applies to acts which are qabih li-ghayrihi, not to qabih li-aynihi. Okay. Now we come on to a new discussion, al-mutlaq wal-muqayyad. So we were talking about the different types of khas. So going right back to the book, we had the 20 types, khas, am, mushtarak, mu'awwal, and so on. So we're talking about khas. The first two types of khas were amr and nahi. So this is a different categorization of khas. The words which are khas can be mutlaq or muqayyad. So let's just remind ourselves, what was the definition of khas? Okay. الخاص لفظ وضع لمعنى معلوم أو مسمى معلوم على الانفراد. Okay. First of all, خاص has a known meaning, unlike مشترك, which has more than one possible literal meaning. And it's على الانفراد. This is the most important part. As opposed to عام, which is ينتظم جمعا من الأفراد. The عام is made of many units. Okay, عام is made of many individuals. Whereas khas is one unit. So based on that, khas could be sometimes mutlaq, sometimes muqayyad. Okay, mutlaq, in simple terms, mutlaq is a word which is not restricted by any description or condition. Okay, it's unrestricted, it's open. Whereas muqayyad is something which is restricted by a certain description or certain conditions. Okay, for example, if I say a pen, qalamun. Okay, now this is khas because it's referring to an individual pen. I'm not referring to 5 pens or 10 pens, I'm not referring to a group of pens. It's just a pen, there's going to be one. But this is mutlaq. Why? Because it could be any kind of pen, right? It could be any kind of pen. But if I say a red pen or a blue pen, now these are muqayyad because they are restricted by a certain description. Okay, so words which are khas are sometimes mutlaq, unrestricted, and sometimes they are muqayyad, they are restricted. Okay, فالمطلق ما يدل على نفس الذات. So mutlaq is a word which refers to نفس الذات, the thing itself, the individual itself, دون خصوص صفاتها, not towards any specific description. Okay, كالرقبة في قوله تعالى فتحرير رقبة في كفارة اليمين. Like the word رقبة in the saying of Allah تعالى فتحرير رقبة in كفارة اليمين. Okay, in Surah Al-Nisa, Allah تعالى says لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الايمان. لا if somebody takes an oath, what is the kafara? فكفارته إطعام 10 مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة. So you have three options if you have a يمين منعقدة and the oath is broken, then you have three options. Either feed 10 miskins or clothe 10 miskins أو تحرير رقبة or free a slave. Over here, there's no mention of what kind of slave. Okay, whereas when it comes to other types of kafara, like kafaratul qatl, if somebody accidentally murders someone, or man qatala mu'mina qata'an, fatahrir raqabatin mu'mina, then he must free a believing slave. So over there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions specifically that the slave should be a Muslim slave. Therefore, a non-Muslim slave will not suffice. So there it's muqayyad, it's described. And it's restricted to a believing slave. But in this case, in Kafaratul Yameen, Allah Ta'ala said, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ, there's no description of mu'mina. So in Kafaratul Qatl, it's muqayyad, is restricted. Whereas in Kafaratul Yameen, it's mutlaq, is unrestricted. So what's the hukam? حُكْمُهُ الْمُطْلَقُ يَجْرِي عَلَى إِطْلَاقِهِ. The mutlaq will continue on its unrestricted. Bring me a blue pen, and then the student bought a black pen. Now he's gone against the command. So since the instruction is open, then it should be left open. There's no reason to restrict it and close it. والمقيد ما يدل على الذات مع خصوص صفاتها. مقيد is where it indicates to the individual being with some specific descriptions. كرقبة في قوله تعالى فتحرير رقبة مؤمنة في كفارة قتل الخطأ. Now, in the context of the expiation and the, for an accidental killing, Allah Ta'ala mentions raqaba, slave, by saying فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ, that by freeing a believing slave. Therefore, حُكْمُهُ الْمُقَيَّدُ يَجْرِي عَلَى تَقْيِيدِهِ, that muqayyad should continue on its taqiyid, on its restricted state. Therefore, it would not be permissible to now say in this case that any slave will suffice. So the summary is المطلق يجري على إطلاقه والمقيد يجري على تقييده. If something is mentioned as mutlaq in Quran, keep it mutlaq. If something is mentioned as muqayyad, then keep it muqayyad. We don't have the right to change it. Okay, just as a note that in this mas'ala of فتحرير رقبة, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah did this qiyas. And due to qiyas, he says in both cases, it must be a Muslim slave. Allah Ta'ala mentioned kafaratul qatl, tahrir raqabatin mu'mina. So by qiyas and by logic, he says in every kafara, it must be Muslim. Whereas Imam Hanifa rahmatullah says, no, where Allah mentioned mu'mina, it must be Muslim. But where Allah did not mention mu'mina, any kind of slave would suffice. So this is the point, that where is mutlaq, leave it mutlaq. Where is muqayyad, leave it as muqayyad. Now the next chapter of Haqiqat al-Majaz, this is a lengthy chapter, so inshallah we'll begin this in the next lesson. The summary of this lesson, alhamdulillah, is that we have now concluded the discussion of khas, because we mentioned that in terms of the original making of a word, the literal meaning, words are of four types: khas, am, mushtarak, mu'awwal. And then khas was of four types: amr, nahi, and mutlaq, and muqayyad. So we have learned the four types of khas. So now there are some further notes on Haqiqat al-Majaz, which we will study in the next lesson, inshallah.
If anybody has any questions, they can ask me now, or they can ask me individually by message, etc. Otherwise, we'll conclude the lesson. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.